So we're going to start a new series today called Refresh. Now, Vision 2022, you'll see the first word up there is Refresh. And so we're doing this teaching series. It's going alongside the well-being series that some of you are engaged with. And if you haven't engaged with it, I would encourage you to get on board and to join a group and to start watching the series and meet with others. But it's all about being refreshed by God. And when we put the series together, this is what the introduction says. The aim of the series is to help the church to find spiritual refreshment in a number of spiritual practices, primarily be focused on the life of Jesus and his rule of life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look and see how Jesus did his spiritual life and see how we can do our spiritual life that we might know the refreshing of God through his Holy Spirit. And we recognize the last 2 years, have been so challenging for people. And it's impacted them in so many ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the idea is that, I'll just keep coughing on you. No, it's not a good idea, is it? But it's that whole sense of trying to encourage you and build you up in your holy faith. And it means that we need to start looking at our lives and reflect on where we are. If we put the next slide up, please, Maggie, you'll see that through the well-being journey, there's six areas which it kind of challenges you to look at. That's huge. Thank you. That's going to last a couple of days. But physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, and vocational. That's the well-being series. But if you were just to take a moment and think about your spiritual life, where are you in your relationship with God? So I'm going to take you through three things, and they all begin with RE. The first one is we need to review where we are. What is the state of our spiritual lives? I read this written by a pastor. Okay, a pastor just was preaching six times on a Sunday. Okay, I was going to say once is not enough. Once is a joy. Twice, you know, we've done twice in this church as well, but six times. He said he was tired physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He says this, but the thing is, I feel like a ghost, half alive, half dead, more numb than anything else, flat, one-dimensional. Emotionally, I live with an undercurrent of non-stop activity that really goes away. And a tinge of sadness. But mostly I just feel blah, spiritually empty. It's like my soul is hollow. Wow, that's a pastor, someone who's teaching six times a day, saying basically spiritually blah, and I feel hollow. And maybe as you hear that, you think about your own spiritual life, and you think, well, actually, I can relate to that. We are under pressure, aren't we, in so many different ways. I'm going to talk about three things that pressurize your life. The first one is the content of your life, the busyness of your life. And as I look around, I can see that there are kind of a mixture of people here. There are some who are retired, and maybe this doesn't apply to you, or maybe it does. There are others of you, there are parents who have got 4 children. Even 3 is hard work, isn't it? Can you imagine having 4? And maybe this does apply to you. So the busyness of our lives. As you look at your schedule, do you think actually it's really working? Are you giving yourself to your family? Are you trying to put too much into your life? Are you really present when they need you? You have so many expectations upon you. There's a financial expectation that you'll provide for your family. There are relational expectations. And then the church lays another expectation on you that you're going to turn up on a Sunday and you're going to serve. Your life is just busy, busy, busy. But you know, sometimes we think busyness is a good thing, don't we? People say to me, excuse me, Will, I can see you're busy. I don't want to add something else to your schedule. And it, excuse me, and busyness is almost seen like a badge of honor. Oh, well, Will is busy, therefore he must be doing a good job. Is that correct? Does busyness equal doing a good job? And so we sometimes think busy is being a good thing. But actually, some of us need to slow down and learn to stop. Henry Ford, when he started his production of the Model T Ford, it was a whole new thing for America. He actually realized that even people who were working on an assembly line doing the same thing every day worked better when they had some decent leisure time. Do we build leisure time into our week, or we just got a schedule that we have to keep to, that we have to run with? Do you know, it was predicted by Richard Nixon, when he was vice president, he put together a group of people and they decided they would look at leisure time. And they reckoned that in the future, that people would only work 4 days a week. That's what they thought. It's interesting, isn't it? But actually, we have more technology, we have more gadgets, and yet do we work more than they did years ago? We probably do. We are just busy, busy, busy. But the fact is, you are less productive after you've done 55 hours a week. So if you're working long hours, are you actually being productive? So we're busy. We have content. We have so much in our lives. The next thing is the pace of our lives. How things move so quickly. I was reflecting today. I became a diabetic in 2001. That was 20 years ago. Where has 20 years gone? Well, obviously around here. But where has it gone? Where is that time? Because time flies and we are so busy that for some of us, we do not enjoy what is happening to us. You think about it. Probably 100 years ago, the fastest that a man could travel was probably on a horse. Train. And now life is so fast. You think about the fact that when you were dealing with people in business, you would write them a letter or you'd send them an invoice and you'd put it in a postbox and you knew it probably wouldn't arrive for 2 or 3 days. Today, when the man comes to service your boiler, he gets his laptop out and straight away he says, "Do you want to pay me now? I'll send you the invoice." Everything is happening so fast. We live life at an incredible speed, and we are trying to squeeze in as much as we can. Life is just hurried, hurried, hurried. Somebody wrote this: "All my worst moments are when I am in a hurry. Love, joy, and peace is incompatible with hurry." C.S. Lewis says, "Hurry is the death of prayer." And yet we still try to cram so much into our lives. And I think to myself, do you know, when we're sat at the table with the kids, or we're sat with somebody else we know, and we try to hurry those moments, they do not become precious to us because we are moving and we're thinking about the next thing we're going to do. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what's the byproduct of hurry? It is exhaustion. So we're busy, we're hurried, well, the pace of our life is so fast. Lastly, what is the fuel for our lives? I spoke to church leaders and we talked about the bucket illustration and how some our lives are really like buckets with holes in. And as we put stuff in, it pours out because of the holes. And I think that's true of our life. There are things that kind of fill our bucket and there are things that drain our bucket. What are the things that drain your bucket? What are the things that restore your soul? And the truth is, there are so many things that drain us. Meetings. Sometimes when we have to deal with our children and family. Relationships. What are the things that fill our buckets? Hopefully taking time to be with family, to be with God, to be with others. Our life is so much, so busy and so full. The question is, are we living life as God wants us to? Are we living life as God wants us to? I want us to take a moment now to take an so we can do the assessment. Let's just think, shall we, about reordering our lives. How can we change our lives? And I want to start by saying, really, there are things that perhaps what we need to do is we need to stop doing certain things. And what I want to talk about just quickly is about technology. Do you know that on average, I've got another one, that you would probably get 60 to 70 notifications on your smartphone every day. Okay, I've probably had about 5-6 this morning as I've sat in church. News, Facebook, Car Wow, they just keep coming, don't they? And what happens is this suddenly becomes a distraction. We're having communion. Carwell wants to tell me about the latest Bentley. Of course, I'm going to get one of those. I've been distracted. What it's doing, it's grabbing your attention. For some of us, it becomes addictive. The average iPhone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. When you are awake, that means you would touch your phone three times a minute. That's the average person, okay? So if you're really addicted, you probably wouldn't put it down for very long at all. It's reckoned the average person spends two hours a day on social media. As we look at our lives, as we review our lives, as we reorder our lives, maybe there are things that we need to change. Are there things that we need to stop doing? And I would say, and I've been listening to stuff on this, that this is one of the things that really can hold us back from enjoying life and knowing God. It's reckoned that 90% of Americans take their phone to bed with them. It's the first thing they look at in the morning, and it's the last thing they look at before they go to sleep. That is quite frightening, isn't it? 76% of them pick, this is the first thing they pick up when they wake up. They don't turn to their wife, husband, partner. They don't rush to go and see their children. They just pick up their phone. How scary is that? That we give our phones, social media, priority in our lives. And surely then what we're doing is we're not giving somebody else our attention. And I'm sure you've seen people sat in restaurants. They all sat there, family of four, two couples perhaps. And what they're doing is they're just looking at their phones. So even when people are present, they are not present. We need to look very carefully and we need to reorder our lives so that actually the choices we make mean that we connect with people and we need to connect with God. So there are clearly things that we need to stop doing. The other thing then is that what are the things that we need to start doing? Well, we've talked about looking at the life of Jesus. Jesus found time to be with his Father. He got up in the morning, early in the morning. We read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And so the practice of Jesus was to be alone with his Father very early in the morning. And we spoke to someone this week who said, do you know, I get up at 5 o'clock to go and pray. I'm going, wow, I don't. I get up a little bit later and I probably pick up my phone. But his pattern of life was, I need to get up and I need to pray. And for me, I find that so challenging. Do I have time alone with God? Do I have time alone reading the word of God? Jesus knew God's word. When he was tempted, he quoted it. When he stood up in the synagogue in Capernaum, he read from Isaiah 61 and said, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I've come to do. Worship was a priority. He went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He spent time in fellowship with other people. He was not a one-man band, but he worked with others. He gave his life as an act of service to others. So he served. His life was simple. And there were other disciplines he showed as well. How about solitude? How about fasting? How about Sabbath? These are the disciplines that he put into his life. Somebody wrote this. In fact, John Ortberg said, as he summarized the life of Jesus, he said, he prayed. He had a close circle of friends, 12 who went through life with him, and he shared everything with them. He engaged in regular corporate worship at synagogue. He fed his mind with scripture. He enjoyed God's creation. He took long walks. He welcomed little children and hugged them and blessed them. He enjoyed partying with non-religious types. That was the life of Jesus. And we are called to imitate the life of Jesus. So the things that we need to stop, which hinder us engaging with God, are there things we need to start? We need to start doing. I was listening to some stuff on the internet, and this guy was talking about the rule of life, how Jesus had a rule of life. And what we think is it's rules for life. Okay, so Jesus read the Bible, therefore I must read the Bible. It's a rule I need to, a rule of Jesus I need to follow. And the guy said, no, this is the wrong way to see a rule of life. He says, actually, the rule is like a trellis. Yeah, Emma's nodding away in the front row. A rule of life is like a trellis, and the Greek, the Latin word for trellis comes from the word rule. And if you know what a trellis is, it's a, you know, a load of bars and stuff. And basically, what you do, you grow a plant up through the trellis, and it holds it in place. I'm not a gardener, as you can tell, but actually, sometimes the fruit will be born on the trellis. And what the guy was saying is the rule of life of Jesus is like a trellis. It's what we put in place so that we can be fruitful and we can grow. And then they related that to John 15, where Jesus talks about the vine. So this trellis is in place, and these are the kind of things that as we do them, as we put these things into our lives, we will bear fruit. And we have Jesus as an example. And so I'd encourage you to think about what are the rules, what is the rule of life that I'm going to follow? Am I going to spend time in the Word of God? You have to. Am I going to find time to pray? Yes, you have to. You have to have time alone with God. And do we at the moment, let's go back to that word review. What are we building in our lives? What are the things that we need to stop doing and we need to start doing? So that we can refresh our lives and become more like Christ. Because the truth is, the things you do, the habits you have, is what you will become. The habits you have, the things you do, will be what you become. And we can do that very simply. You think about what you eat. Okay? What do you eat? What do you put into your mouth? What you eat is what you become. Therefore, if you sit down and eat 12 donuts in one go, you will become squidgy and round like a donut. if you eat your five a day, or is it seven, or is it 12 a day? I don't know, the number keeps going up. You will become a very different person. You may end up looking like a stick of celery, I don't know. But what we do is what we become. The habits we form is what our life will become. And that is so true spiritually. The last thing we want to talk about is the fact that we need to refresh, and we do that. How do we do that? We do that by coming to Christ. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Taken from the Message, it reads like this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's beautiful, isn't it? The unforced rhythms of grace. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. So Jesus invites us. He says, come to me, all who are weary. And maybe this morning, as we've spoken, as we've thought about these verses, thought about this whole subject of refresh, maybe you're sitting there going, yep, I'm tired. I'm weary. I kind of feel burnt out because I am running life so fast. I'm tired because I have so much to do. And maybe you need to make some decisions that will change that. Decisions, very practical decisions about the schedule you keep. But maybe it's time also to make decisions about your spiritual life and those habits that you are going to start picking up. And we're going to talk about them over the next few weeks, about Sabbath and solitude and simplicity, about serving God and others. And we would invite you to Morshanger to come and be refreshed as we spend a morning with God. It was quite shocking. We talked about it in the meeting the other day. And I said, well, basically what we'll do is we'll take everybody's phones off them and just put them in a box. Amen. And it was interesting to see the response. It's like, oh, no, don't take that off me. I need it for my worship. We're going to have a morning alone with God just to give him time to refresh us and speak into our lives. So book yourself in. Email's coming out. Book yourself in and just say yes. Yes to God. Yes to taking time to be silent and alone with your Father. But these words are wonderful. Jesus says to me, you come to me. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. And you might think, well, what on earth is that? This sounds like a lot of hard work. Putting a yoke on your neck sounds like, wow, that's just... But what Jesus was saying was that as a rabbi, he would have taught people how to live. And that teaching, that set of teaching was called a yoke. And as a disciple, you would take on that teaching and you would put it onto your life. And that's how you to live. And Jesus saying, my teaching, take it upon you. Take it upon you. And learn from me. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you need rest for your soul? Well, come to Jesus and be refreshed by him. Receive his invitation. and take on his yoke. I want to finish with just one thought, really, about... Have the last slide, please, Maggie. Will you choose what is best? And the story, of course, is about Mary and Martha. Jesus turns up for dinner, and if Jesus turned up at your house, what would you give him for dinner? Okay. You probably wouldn't put pork on the table, I'm sure. But if he turns up, you'd think to yourself, well, let's get the house tidy. Let's put the dog outside. Let's hoover. Let's clear the table. Let's put the oven on and bake some scones or, you know, let's get everything ready. And that's exactly what Martha thought. Jesus is coming. Got to get ready. Got to cook some food. Plus all his disciples have to be a big old dinner. Make it look good, smell good, and fit for a king. And what does Mary do? She's not got the hoover out. She's not got the duster out. She sees Jesus and she sits down at his feet and just looks into his eyes. And says, wow. The King of Kings has come to my house. The Son of God is sat in our lounge. What am I going to do? Am I going to get the hoover out? Or am I just going to sit and listen to what he has to say? Because his words are pure gold. And Jesus kind of sees Martha's getting a bit, she's doing nothing. I'm hoovering with the one hand and baking with the other. And Jesus said, well, Martha says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Which one are you? Most of us are Marthas, aren't we? Let's get busy. Let's look busy. Because we feel good if we're doing something. But actually what Mary was doing was so much better. She was engaged with her Saviour. And that's the whole point of this series, is we want the church to engage with our Saviour. To reorder our lives so that we engage with him and find that actually it is him who will give us rest for our souls, who will fill our lives to overflowing. Because the truth is, I feel, that we often say to people, you know, Christianity, it's life in all its fullness. And yet, when we look at our lives, perhaps it isn't. Because we're not engaging with our Father. Because we're too distracted, too busy doing other things. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to hand over to the worship team. Let's just take a moment. Maybe this morning you want to make a commitment to your Father to say, Father, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to make you a priority in my life. I'm going to find time to be in your presence. I'm going to open your word. I'm going to spend time worshiping. I'm going to give myself to serving you. I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. This morning, just as we've talked about these things, as we take this moment, why don't you speak to God and perhaps this morning make your commitment to him.